So it's a blessing to be with everyone today, and we're going to continue in the book of Judges. Today will be a day of encouragement, and we're going to see that we will survive and thrive in this volatile situation in many of our nations and society. As the world continues to unravel, we go through this about once every 500 years. We're long overdue since the Reformation. This happens in world history. It's nothing weird. It's nothing crazy. We live in a sinful world. And right now, we're in the midst of one of those really sinful generations, as the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about 2,000 years ago when he walked the planet. So we're going to continue in our sermon series in the book of Judges. And it's very important that we realize there are no minor prophets. There are no minor judges, because we're up to a part today in the book of Judges where they'd be considered minor judges. We're going to find out why. And there are no minor Christians. So as I was just saying before, we're all important in the great scheme of things. Many of you who are Christians that lead what you think is an insignificant and quiet life of faith are very significant to the Lord. Jesus Christ knows where you are and where you stand, even during your darkest times of temptation. God is with you. Christ is with you. And we have to remember that. And we will be used when this whole house burns down, proverbial house of the world burns down. We will have to rebuild it, as Christians have always had to rebuild it. Our ideas that we get from the Word, our inspiration, following Christ's commands, change a world that's trapped in sin. So, God, we will survive and thrive. And that's the main thrust of the message I want to get across today. Just like Christianity was the driving force between ending slavery and human sacrifice, and we saw what a mess Jephthah was, the judge we finished examining his narrative, his life in the book last week in Judges chapter 12. We see that he brought teachings that were not of the Lord, more like Canaanite practices. And that's why he offered his daughter up as a sacrifice if he won the battle against the Ammonites. He was a complete idiot, did not know the word of God, still made it into heaven. And that's encouragement for us. You do not have to be a perfect Christian. There are times in your life, just like in mine, where you've been sleepwalking, you've made tremendous mistakes, but God will see you through. And you don't have to be a perfect Christian to make it into heaven, but you do want to be a mature Christian to please the Lord. And we want to be productive for our God. So we're going to examine today how no one is minor, whether it's a judge, a prophet, or a believer. And God is with us. And it's a great encouragement that we can participate in this battle for the Lord. And you are more needed than you think. We have broken people, broken elderly, who have been brainwashed by the culture, by television. They are flaming pagans now. We have people middle-aged who are broken, no direction. We have been completely corporatized. They think the culture of their people is Coca-Cola and McDonald's and Netflix. So they've lost all connection to what it means to have a Christian heritage. They've been deracinated. They have no connection to their ethnic group. And especially the children who don't even know if they're really boys or girls today. Those who have participated in that will be called to account. There is a judgment coming, and no, not just in the afterlife, now. There will be hard judgment coming for what we've done to the children. And every society in history, every major civilization that has been unearthed by archaeologists, if you go back through the 200 plus major civilizations, these are secular studies, these are not Bible believers, but they all agree the way you know that a group of people, a society is dying, is when they kill their own children. And that's why the Bible has been so wonderful, and Christian countries are the most affluent, always doing the best, because we eventually end slavery and human sacrifice. And unfortunately, many times that has been children. So we're going to continue in Judges chapter 12 today. We're going to read about three judges, and we're going to make some application. So God bless everyone. Thank you for being with us for the sermon. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that all of our words today will glorify you and the Father, and the power of the Holy Ghost would be within what we speak today. We pray, Lord, that we would only glorify you. I pray, Lord, that you would check my human weakness and sin, and that you would give me words of grace and wisdom from your word, the Bible, to give to the people, Lord, for nourishment. So we pray that our sermon today would be blessed, as well as the rest of our time of worship and our Sabbath day of rest. And we ask this, Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to be continuing in our sermon series. We're in number 39 of this sermon series. We're going to be working through the book of Judges 8 through 15. And the title of today's sermon is No Minor Judges, Prophets, or Christians. And we'll explain that in a moment. But first, let's read our text through so we know what we're reading, where we stand. So we're in the book of Judges. We're in chapter 12. And right after the death of Jephthah, we get some judges that have a short narrative. And that's the only reason why they're called minor. They don't have these longer parts in the original scroll. So as we read, we see that then Jephthah judged Israel 6 years, then died Jephthah the Gileadite and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. So his time of leadership is over. And then it tells us, starting in verse 8, and after him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. And he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, whom he sent abroad, and took in 30 daughters from abroad for his sons. And he judged Israel 7 years, then died Ibzan and was buried at Bethlehem. So we have this first of the three judges that are going to be mentioned in this part of the book. A typical politician wants to form political alliances, so he sends his children out abroad to be married and brings children in to marry his, and has these grand plans of power, possibly, but God does what he does with people. He kills him and takes him up to heaven, hopefully for his sake, if he was faithful. And we see that our grand plans many times will come crashing down, even the most powerful in the world. So that's the narrative we have on Ibzan. And then we have, and after him, Elon, a Zebulunite, judged Israel, and he judged Israel 10 years. And Elon, the Zebulunite, died and was buried in Ajalon and the country of Zebulun. And after him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, very famous name in Judaism, a Parathionite, judged Israel. And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews that rode on 70 ass colts. And he judged Israel 8 years. And Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Parathionite, died and was buried in Parathion in the land of Ephraim and the mount of the Amalekites. So we see, when we see these numbers, 40 sons and 30 nephews, these large groups of men, we see that it's a sign of power within the family and blessings. And if we go back to the other quote, minor judges, we see a similar narrative. When we talk about Tola and Jair, which is the center of the book, and that it was 55 years of peace, there was no major wars or trouble within Israel. And you have this break at times, even in the worst civilizations. You have a time of, seems like not much is going on. But that's actually a sign of success, as we said. We don't need to be exciting. We need to be faithful. We need to be steady. That's what God is looking for. He's not looking for double-minded people or societies. that waver back and forth. So you see similar language when we go back to Judges 10, and we had already given a message on this sermon. And it says, "And after Abimelech there arose to defend Israel, Tola the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he dwelt in Shamir, Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. And then we're told, and after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts," again, a sign of power. "And they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Kamon." So we see that the minor judges are not really minor. And this expression only came, this is the first point in our sermon. Remember, the title of our sermon, No Minor Judges, Prophets, or Christians. It's just a term that was used to describe shorter books in the Bible. That's it. So point number one, and this is on the outline. You could look at the PDF or download it on Sermon Audio. Theologians refer to minor prophets and judges in the Bible only regarding the size of their writings. These shorter books are not less relevant than the longer books in God's Word. So all of God's Word is important. It's just that some books are larger than others. So obviously Isaiah has more of us to read and digest than, say, Habakkuk. But we wouldn't throw out or ignore Habakkuk. Unfortunately, some believers do this, and it'll hurt your study and your development as a Christian and as a believer. So would any sane person disregard the books of Zechariah, Malachi, or Habakkuk in their canon? We must treat the minor judges the same way. Their narratives are still significant today. So we see in the story of Jair and Tola in chapter 10, and we see with these other three judges that we're going to read about today, we still have a lot of application, a lot to look at. It speaks about the history of the Hebrew people at this time as they were struggling to develop as a nation. It talks about the mistakes they made. And one thing we know, if you try and glorify yourself above God, things will end in disaster. Look at many of our modern politicians or would-be emperors. They die pretty bad deaths, or they die in scandal. God will not share his glory with another. So remember, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God and acknowledge him and his sovereignty, and things will go well with you. So we don't ignore any parts of God's word. So we have to treat the minor judges the same way. Their narratives are still significant today. And that's why we'll take an entire sermon to examine these three judges and see what they were doing in their life and how they were interacting with the Lord our God. And we'll see that these minor judges were doing the typical thing that politicians do, trying to consolidate power. So nothing has changed. Nothing. As Solomon said, nothing new under the sun. Nothing has changed. Don't be discouraged when you see this circus that's going on in our nation and in other nations. As we said, Western nations especially are being judged for being unfaithful to the Lord our God, especially the leadership. There is no country for people of European descent. We have been betrayed by our elites. And that goes for all people if you are a Christian. So we've had times in history where other peoples have suffered. Those who are of African descent did not have a great time in their history in the Western world, especially with slavery and these other institutions. They went through their time of troubles. Well, God switches the time of troubles for certain peoples at different times. And right now, this is the old Anglosphere going through its time of upheaval. Now, many Christian pastors like to lie, and they say that, well, we're all the same, and the history of all Christians is the same, and that's a lie. That's to be appreciated and accepted in the world. The history of all people is not the same. People have suffered at different times, and Christian nations are not all the same. The history of what is a Christian nation of Russia today is not the same as the Christian history of, say, Ethiopia or Armenia, the Armenian people. So, but this is our time. So no matter what your skin color, what your background, if you live in the Western world, quote, the West, which has built this current culture, you are going to feel the earthquake that's happening. So it's an important time to study and to understand that you will be used by God. Again, regardless of your ethnic background or the shade of your skin, be knowledgeable in God's word and you will be used to help us rebuild again. This has happened in history before. Do not be discouraged. Do not watch CNN or Fox News every day and live and die depending on what news, what controlled news comes through the CIA on your television set. Don't fret. Don't worry. We will have a lifestyle change. We will suffer according to the world's standards, but God will, those who are faithful will eat and we'll have clothes on our backs. God guarantees that in his word for those who believe and follow his commands. But you have to disattach from Babylon. You have to come out of the system. And if God tells you to flee from this city or that city, listen to him. He's done it before in history. You have to come out of the world system. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. So that's the main thing to focus on. No one is minor. You are not a minor Christian because your name is not broadcast on TBN or some other faithless channel, or because your name isn't in the news. God realizes now, if you have the worst job you've ever had, if you have the worst family situation you've ever had, but you're holding on to your faith, you're holding on to Christ, Jesus Christ is with you and he knows. So be encouraged. You are not a minor player in God's kingdom. And as a matter of fact, God has a soft spot for those who believe in him, even without seeing him face to face. So point number two in the sermon, no one is minor, a prophet, a judge. Those are terms that were invented because those books were shorter in the Bible. So major prophet like Isaiah, minor prophet like Habakkuk, doesn't mean that there's a difference in the value. It just means one scroll was larger than another. Same thing in the book of Judges. They all need to be read and need to be studied. As short as a verse may seem, it could be very significant. How about the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Pretty significant verse. Something that you can meditate on for the rest of your life and not appreciate the full meaning of that. So point number two in the sermon, be encouraged today, okay? In the same regard, there are no minor Christians in God's eyes. All those who believe and obey the Lord Jesus Christ are precious to the Lord. God understands the circumstances of the great unknown group of believers who live quiet and faithful lives. Obey the dictates of the Great Commission, and you are mighty in God's kingdom. As long as you're giving witness by the life you're living and you are giving witness about Christ to those around you, remember, you don't need to cast your pearls to swine, but you have to cast your pearls to swine at least once. And if they don't accept it, then that's fine. But you have to give witness. If you're feeling bad because you haven't been living faithfully or giving a proper witness when you could, then fine, correct it. You should feel bad. But if you're living a faithful life, and you've been witnessing to those around you, and you're suffering for it, don't worry. God knows you're suffering, and he knows that you're suffering for him. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. And especially with the COVID scam, which I told you was a scam a couple years ago, as Vladimir Putin should get a Nobel Prize for ending COVID by invading Ukraine. All of a sudden, all the concerns of COVID are gone. it's all a scam. And COVID will be back after the elections come this November. You be sure of that. They'll try again because it's all about the money system. They're trying to preserve this financial empire in the West that God is going to let be destroyed. So you're not insignificant. And like I said, you're going to be needed. This thing is going to continue to tumble down. It will not be the end of the world. It will not be the end of the world. And you will be used in a mighty way to encourage those around you and teach them God's commands. We're going to have to remind people again that a girl through surgery cannot become a boy. And that men and women are different. Their roles are different. They're going to need to know what traditional marriage was. What is marriage, the covenant from the word? They're going to need to know that the banking system, as soon as it gets into lending money for interest, is usury. It's evil. This was always banned by the church. One of the dark spots on Protestants is once they were able to gain freedom from the Catholic Church, they brought back usury. And this is something that needs to be banned again. So they're going to have to come to us for answers when it comes to how to live their lives, how to handle their money, how to do everything. People can't even cook anymore. Their cooking practices are picking something different from the convenience store that they can microwave. They don't know how to do anything. We're past the point of people not knowing how to grow food. We can't even cook it anymore if it's not prepared for us. I remember during the lockdowns, they ran out of frozen dinners, frozen pizzas, because many people can't cook anymore. So they're going to need us, okay? So as long as you're obeying the Great Commission and you're discipling those who will actually listen, you're quite all right in God's eyes, and you're very important. To show you I'm not lying, turn to Matthew chapter 28. What are we told in the Great Commission? Well, in verses 16 through 20, it's very simple. Jesus, before he's going to ascend into heaven eventually, he tells the disciples, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." It's always there. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power," right? Not some, not a little, "all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now, the word nation in the Bible is ethnos. Can't get away from it. God loves his different people groups. He doesn't want one whole gray people. He loves the way he made people. Okay? All the different groups, all the different ethnicities. "So teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So Jesus is saying, we approach all people with the gospel. This is what you see in the book of Acts. People were approached, leaders were made in different ethnic groups, and then those elders built the church in those nations. That's why the scheme of the New World Order, which never changes, is to mix people ethnically without biblical principles. Because when you mix people ethnically, and they're not Christian, or don't have a common belief, they will constantly fight against one another and never look at the guy at the top who's in charge, or the group in the top that's in charge. They can never unify to overthrow the leadership. They're too busy fighting one another. That's why Occupy Wall Street, which was a great movement in the beginning, people identified the problem, the banks, the banksters, and the governments that are married to them. They identified it. But soon they changed it to Black Lives Matter. See, they made it from financial, that all people, black, white, green, blue, were trapped in a system of debt where the banks and your stockbroker people and your money changers continue to gain more money by pushing paper and playing with numbers. And those of us who really work, whether it's on a farm or as law enforcement, whatever we're doing, we get more poor just through the financial system. Well, they distracted us from that, which was the truth, to now it's a battle between black and white and red and blue and green and whatever. So they were pretty successful. They're very brilliant. I give them credit. Evil is very wise. That's why Jesus said, be as innocent as a dove, but be as wise as a serpent. So now we're all fighting against one another. But the way to peace, as I've been saying since I've been preaching at Fellowship 12, 13 years ago, is that either the gospel will flood the streets or there will be blood in the streets. Because you cannot take different ethnic groups and mix them together and not have a common God and a common law. It won't function. And that's what we're seeing. Society is breaking apart. The trust is gone. But shame on you. Don't let that happen as a Christian. So regardless of what skin color your brother or sister has, if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if they trust and obey, that's your brother or sister in the faith. And that's who you're going to need to lean on during troubling times. So remember that. So if you are consumed with the Great Commission, you're A-okay in God's eyes, even if it's not noticed. And he sees you right now. You might be elderly, living alone by yourself. Your family might not be believers. You might be quite isolated, especially after these COVID lockdowns. But God is with you. And Jesus Christ is holding your hand during your most troubling times. So your life is not insignificant. So no minor judges, prophets, or Christians. And then the last point we want to make is very important. The Lord Jesus Christ appreciates the fact that you believe in him without physically seeing him. God knows this. During your darkest days of temptation, the Lord has never left you. Even as our world once again unravels, it's happened thousands of times through world history. We're reading about it now in the book of Judges. How many times was the nation turned upside down, then delivered again from God by someone who believed and was faithful, even with all their faults? That's you and me in the future. Even as our world once again unravels, you will thrive in the aftermath. You're going to make it, and you're going to be stronger because of the trouble you live through. We must trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. We sing about it every week in church, and then, unfortunately, even many in the pulpit ignore the fact that, yes, having faith is important, and obeying the commands of Christ is important, which, of course, is based on the Ten Commandments. Christ wants us to be a moral people that teaches other people to be moral. The person that speaks the truth about sin, even though they fall into sin from time to time, as long as they repent for it, is a mature believer and respected by God. Those who teach sin and claim to be believers are demons. I don't know why that's so hard to understand. We're not saying we need to be perfect to be saved, for none of us would be saved. But after Jesus Christ gives his life for you and he is now your king, who tells the king to drop dead? Who blows off the commandments of their leader? Why would you not want to please the king? Why would we not teach our children proper principles? I don't care what the world says. The world has suicided itself thousands of times. We have people groups that have completely disappeared, and even quicker physical nations. Remember, nation, it's just geography. So if you say I'm this or that, it doesn't always mean much. Is your people group still around, right? That's what's important. And many of those have disappeared because of sin, because of not teaching our children the commandments of God the way we're supposed to. Most people who call themselves Christian patriots never read the Constitution. They think they're conservative or right-wing, and the founding fathers would have hung them because they're so liberal in their beliefs. The Constitution is the middle road in the political spectrum. It's about freedom. And it's the same thing with the Bible. So many who call themselves Christians never really read the Bible or sat under someone who didn't know how to explain it and apply it, unfortunately. But You have to read it and you have to live it. You have to obey. This is not a new thing. Jesus himself said he would appreciate and love those like us. We have a special place in his heart, those who didn't get to see him physically. But we know he exists spiritually. And we could see it with our eyes, what he's done in our lives, what he has done in the world, what the movement of King Jesus in the world for 2,000 years, how it has set the captives free. Most importantly, spiritually, but not just that, physically, in real time, where Christianity goes, slavery eventually ends. Human sacrifice, killing children, eventually ends. And that's how you know America, as well as Canada and Britain and France and all these groups are at the end of the road, that something new will be built because they're killing their children. And they will not escape this. And banking systems and money and bribing people, that's soft power. And soft power eventually goes away. The programming is ending now. People are not conditioned to trust the government like they were before. And even my group of those who are 60 years old and older, and it used to be a good ride in America, and you could somewhat trust what the government was saying, or so you thought, you see that those days are over. And that's okay, because it's going to bring you closer to God. Let's read the words of Jesus himself. Please turn to John chapter 20. We'll read verses 24 through 29. Again, I'm not lying. You might not hear this every week in Christian circles, but this is the gospel. This is the truth. This is from one of the gospels, the gospel of John. Look at this conversation with Thomas, famously called the Doubting Thomas. We'll see why. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. This means he wasn't with the other disciples, the apostles. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Whoa. See? So, sinful hearts and minds have always been there. But look, watch what happens. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And I don't, and you don't, need Jesus to come into our lives physically. And we don't want to be embarrassed on that day when we close our eyes in death and we physically see him and be embarrassed like Thomas and have to say, "Lord, I'm sorry that I didn't have a stronger faith because I didn't physically see you." And Jesus Christ knows that. That's why he gives evidence of his power in your life, in my life. Things that have happened to us while we were alone in our lives, the guidance in our lives, even things that have happened that we thought were a disaster. When we prayed for things that we wish we could get and we didn't get it, and it actually protected us. This is the power and guidance of Christ in our lives. And you look at Christians who trust and obey, especially now when it's in your face, and you look at the lost lives of others, and you'll see the difference, how God has protected you in your life, your mind, your body, your spirit, everything, the whole thing. Everything He's protected you because you look at the mess that those around you are in because they haven't believed. And now it's especially obvious people have no guidance, none. They don't know what gender they are. They don't know what foods to eat. They believe any news cycle that makes them panic. They're giving their lives away willingly. They have no critical thinking, no discernment. Read Romans chapter 1. This is what Paul warned about. So you will thrive. No minor prophets, no minor judges, and no minor Christians. You're just as important to Christ for loving him and obeying him, even though you can't see him at times. And let this be a message of encouragement. And we're going to make it. And we will have to be there again to guide these poor souls as this whole thing continues to collapse. So be encouraged today. Be grateful that you can read the word. And I'm grateful that I get the chance to bring you the word. May God bless his word. And may the Son of God, King Jesus, the one who reigns now and forevermore, be glorified. Amen. Lord Jesus, we ask that you continue to encourage us. We thank you, Lord, for the encouraging words. We thank you, Lord, that even those things that seem bad in our life, many times you are protecting us, unanswered prayers. We thank you, Lord, that no one is minor in your eyes, that we all have a very important role to play. And we could be happy in that, that we get to participate with God himself in building his kingdom. We pray, Lord, that you continue to give us insight that we can thrive during these troubling times, that our faith can grow, that our influence on those around us can grow by the way we trust and obey you, the way that great hymn teaches us. We ask, Lord, that you be with us for the rest of the week, that you protect your people until we meet again, Lord. And we always thank you and glorify you. And we ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you weren't encouraged, be encouraged. If you were discouraged, stop it. If you were doubting, stop it. Christ is with you. Be by yourself, pray, and you'll know that. If you weren't obeying the Great Commission, do it now. Time is short. The destruction will continue. You will survive and thrive. Be a blessing to those around you. Stay strong in your faith and obey. God bless you. Till next week.